Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have it.
Well, well, well. We'd like to say welcome to everyone out there that's tuned in, listening to Praise Tabernacle Church Tuesday night Bible study, our weekly Bible study that we do on a weekly basis. On behalf of our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his wife, Lady Zachary, we would like to welcome you all who has tuned in to listen to our weekly Bible study. As always, we have a council that tunes in every week to be a part of the Bible study. We have a different teacher each and every week so that we can get a different perspective from each teacher and so that everybody can try to get what they can from the Lord. And we just want you to just sit back and relax and enjoy the word tonight and get your pencil and paper out and so you can write down some notes, as we believe we got a good word for you tonight from a great speaker that we have on tap to bring the Bible study tonight. And we just want to thank the Lord for everything that the Lord has done and that the Lord is going to do, not only with Praise Tabernacle Church, but just throughout the land, throughout the world, throughout the body of Christ. And we just want to sit back and enjoy the word tonight and appreciate our speaker and what she's going to bring with the word tonight. And we just want to say a prayer, and then I will introduce our speaker for tonight. The Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We magnify your holy name. We appreciate who you are and what you are, and that you don't need help from nobody, but that we just honor you. We give you glory. We give you all the praise. For there is none like you. There is none greater than you, Lord God. You are the most wise, Lord God. You are a healer. You are our victor. We find victory in you. We find healing in you, Lord God. And we just honor you tonight, Jesus. And we thank you for being who you are all by yourself. And we just thank you for another Tuesday night. And we thank you for taking us from week to week, year to year, even second to second, Lord God. We thank you. And we don't want to take anything for granted that you've done for each and every one that is tuned in, that is listening tonight, Lord God. We don't want to take it for granted what you've done for us and how we give you glory and we give you all the honor, Lord God. And we thank you for waking us up in our right mind this morning, Lord God. And we have struggles. We have health issues, some of us do. But we thank you anyway. But we know that you are a healer. And we know that we find strength in you, Lord God, no matter what's going on in our lives, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent. We know that we find strength in you and that you'll always be glorified in our lives. As men and women of God, we just want to say thank you, Jesus. And we just want to say we love you and that you continue to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us each and every day. And each and every day that we have movement in our being, and that we can walk and talk and do the things that you would have us to do, Lord God. And we just honor you. We thank you for life, health, and strength tonight, Lord God. In Jesus' name, we pray always, and everything is always in Jesus' name that we pray this prayer tonight. Well, we got a great speaker tonight. We pray that you enjoy yourself. Again, our very own evangelist, Doug Stanton, as she brings forth the word. And like I say, every time I introduce her to speak for Bible study, I just love the way she teaches. It's so encouraging. And she just has a peaceful voice and how she delivers the word. And it just makes you stay in tune to what she's saying. And allow the Spirit of the Lord to just feed you through her words. And we just want to say, Evangelist Bill Stanton, you are a teacher, and the Lord loves you. And we just want to say thank you as you prepare to bring forth the word tonight. So everybody, just in your own little way, wherever you are, you know, just say, Evangelist Bill Stanton, let the Lord use you. Evangelist Stanton, the floor is yours.
Praise God. To God be the glory, Elder. Definitely give him the glory and the honor, because if it had not been for him. Thank you, Elder. Thank you to the panel on tonight. Thank you to everyone that is listening to our Tuesday night Bible study. You know, we get excited. I like to call it couch talk. It's like we're sitting around on the couch and just talking about life, talking how to walk out this life in the Word of God and with the Word of God, through the Word of God. And when Elder was praying and he mentioned that our strength is from God, I just want to encourage and remind everyone that is listening on tonight that your strength does come from God. So if you are going through anything, if you are weak in any areas of your life, turn to God. He will strengthen you. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will make the crooked places straight. He will order your footsteps. He will bring healing. He will bring deliverance. He will bring salvation. He will put your family back together again. He will make a way out of no way. And I just want to encourage you on that first tonight to let you know that. Even though that's not my topic, that's not my subject, I just, when he said that, when Elder said that in his prayer, I just wanted to remind everybody, because sometimes things could weigh heavy on us, but we're not supposed to carry any burdens. We are supposed to cast them upon God. We're supposed to give them to God. We're supposed to give him the yoke of the bondage. Anything, any dis-ease, any illness, any sickness, any troubles, anything that we have, any burden in this life, we're supposed to give it to God. So I just encourage you on tonight to give it to him. And you may ask me, okay, how do I do that? Through prayer, through your mouth. Open up your mouth and talk. You talk about everything else. Open up your mouth and talk. Say, God, I give it to you. I surrender it to you with my mouth. I didn't mean to, you know, get off the lesson yet, but I just felt that. I just felt that in my spirit that somebody needs to be encouraged tonight. Somebody has been heavy. Somebody has been, oh, my God, how am I going to make it? I just want to tell you, you can make it. You can make it. God is right there for you. God is right there with you. And all you got to do is submit and surrender yourself unto him right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and with that being said, our lesson on tonight is coming from an Old Testament book. It is going to be the book of Haggai. It's spelled H-A-G-G-A-I. And like Elder said, if you would, please get your Bibles and get your pencils, get your paper, take notes, study it for yourself. You know, see what God gives you out of this word. Go back into it. Eat of the word of God. Let it fill you. Let it be the food that you need in your spiritual life. But we're going to the book of Haggai, and we're going to chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Once again, the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And if I would have a topic on tonight, my topic would be, consider your ways. Once again, my topic would be, consider your ways. I want to just give you a little bit of background on Haggai, just in case you're wondering, who is Haggai? Haggai is one of the minor prophets. Now, a minor prophet is somebody who has just written short books, a shorter book. A major prophet is somebody who has written longer books. So Haggai is a minor prophet. He has written a short book, not like Isaiah, who's written a long book. And it doesn't mean that what he has written is not important. It's definitely still important. It's just that he's just written a shorter book. He's one of the minor prophets. In this that we're getting ready to read and talk about tonight, a group of Jews that were in Babylon, they were in exile in Babylon. They were freed, and they went back to Jerusalem to begin the work of rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. And this has probably been a span of maybe 16 to 20 years from what I got in my study. I could be wrong on the time, but I think it was a span of maybe 16 to 20 years that they had been back in Jerusalem, and they still had not worked on finishing the temple. So that's where we find ourselves at right now. So Haggai, one of the minor prophets, he is getting ready to give a word unto the people. And like I said, this group of Jews had been in captivity, and they were out of captivity. They were back in Jerusalem, and the temple had been destroyed, and they still had not rebuilt the temple. So the word reads, Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaking the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sitled houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, Haggai, as we see in the very first verse, is talking to some of the civil and religious representatives of the people. He's talking to Zerubbabel, who was the governor of Judah, the leader recognized by the Jews. He was a descendant of Shealtiel and the grandson of Joashim. The high priest, Joshua, was the son of Josedek. So God is sending the message by Haggai to them that it's time to build the temple. So verse 2 says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. So the people over and over again, year after year after year, they keep saying, it's not time. It's not time. It's not time for us to build. Now, when I was studying this and looking over it, it really doesn't give you the exact reason why they didn't want to do it. I mean, they had been through a lot. They were going through some things. Maybe they didn't have the finances. But they just kept saying year after year and moment after moment, it's not time. And I started thinking about how we are in our personal lives. It's not time to get saved, or it's not time to live for Christ, or I don't have the time to read the Word of God. Mm-hmm. What are our excuses? Why is it that we can't take the time out? Right. What really is hindering us from getting into the presence of God? How many times have you said it? I just don't have time. What is your saying that you keep saying over and over again? I don't have time to read, or I don't have time to pray, or I don't have time to go to church, or I don't have time to worship God. I don't have time to get into the presence of God. I don't have time. Or what is your saying? What is your excuse? I don't understand what the Bible is saying. I don't understand how to pray. What's your excuse? What is it that you keep saying over and over and over again?
Amen.
Think about it.
Amen.
Think about it tonight. Did you have something you would like to say, Evangelist Bouette?
I do, because people get complacent. People get comfortable where they are, and when you get in a place where you want to grow, you want to do more, you want to do this, you want to do that, you're going to always have them people that's complacent, and they find where they are, they're doing enough just to get by. And sometimes you just have to leave those people there. And I believe that's what these you get comfortable. You get comfortable where you at. And I challenge everybody. God has put so much in us and so much potential, but we are comfortable where we are. And if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep, I don't want to get ahead of the lesson, but you're never going to have enough. And that's how I'm going to say on that part. I'm going to wait till you get to the other part. But we get complacent and don't want to do more than what's required. I mean, we're just going to do just enough to get by.
And we do. And what happens is, like you said, we get comfortable in that place. I mean, a day go by, 2 days go by, a week goes by, and we keep saying that's what we're going to do, but then we become comfortable in that place. Because, see, the enemy wants you to be comfortable in that place. He doesn't want you to get up and read your word. You know, a lot of us have the I'm going to start on Monday Come on. A lot of us have that. Oh, on Monday, I'm going to start a fast. On Monday, I'm going to start reading a chapter of the Bible on Monday. On Monday, I'm going to start losing weight. I'm going to start my diet on Monday. On Monday, I'm going to go start cleaning out my closet on Monday. Then when Monday comes, what happens is we get distracted by something else, so we don't start on that Monday. We don't start. We have another excuse that keeps us from doing the thing that we said we were going to do. But I really want you to focus on tonight your relationship with God. The excuses that you keep saying to keep you from going further in Christ.
Right.
Maybe it's even salvation. I don't want to get saved until I give up this thing. Well, you're not going to give it up until you get saved.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to
because,
say.
Because, yes, go ahead, Elder.
I was just going to say that, you know, I agree totally with that because, see, we don't have power within our flesh to deliver ourselves from whatever it is we need to be delivered from. You know, and a lot of people believe that, well, I'll give my life to the Lord when I stop doing this. Or I'll give my life to the Lord when I give up that, when I stop drinking, when I stop smoking, when I stop chasing women, when I stop chasing men, when whatever it is, when I can stop going to the clubs and see the enemy hears that just as much as anybody else does. And then there's always something that prevents you or us from getting to that point. And it's our flesh. Because there's no power in our flesh. Our flesh is weak.
Right.
And it always has been weak. And it will forever be weak. There's no power in our flesh. So if we count on us to deliver ourselves from whatever it is that we need to be delivered from, we will fail every time. And what it's going to take is going to take for us to come into a relationship, like he was saying, Evangelist Stan, it's going to take us to come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him through his strength, through his power, to deliver us so that we can serve him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
There's no other way than that. There
Amen.
Is no other way than that. And if somebody knows another way, please enlighten me. So go ahead.
And in verse 2, God also does show his displeasure for the people, because it says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say. He didn't say, my people say.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, my people say. He said, this people.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine how God had to been feeling? He said, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. What were they waiting on? What are you waiting on? Are you waiting for something to drop out the sky in front of you and say, okay, now is the time to get your relationship with Christ right? Are you waiting on the burning bush experience? Are you somebody that you gotta see something? What are you waiting on to have that relationship with Christ? Don't make excuses.
Yes.
Too often God's people are quick to make excuses as to why they cannot engage in spiritual works. They say they cannot study the Bible because they don't have enough time. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We often talk about wake up 10 minutes early, start 10 minutes in the morning, go to bed 10 minutes later. You eat. Study while you're eating. You go to the bathroom. Study while you're sitting on the toilet. You have time to get into the presence of God.
Yes, we do.
You have time.
No
excuses. So our number one thing is stop making excuses.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Stop coming up with excuses. Elder, did you have something you would like to say?
Yes, ma'am. Wonderful, wonderful passage. Wonderful teaching. When the statement you made about having time, they had been sent to Babylon, or King Nebuchadnezzar brought them to Babylon in droves. In other words, in three different sections or three different times. Now they're at the point in your scripture where they're going back in droves, three at a time. The first was to come was Zerubbabel and Jehoshaphat, right? So they had time to think on the word of God. They had time to think of how good God is, because in the 70 years they was in bondage, or the 70 years they was in captivity to Babylon, they had time to reflect
right.
on the ways that put them there in the first place. So you make a lot of sense when you say we have to make time, whether we're using the restroom or whatever we're doing, set time apart for the word of God, because he has definitely set time apart for us. So when Zerubbabel was sent back with Jehoshaphat in the first wave, at that time, the only work they did, they was going back to rebuild the temple. The only work that they had only done was they laid the foundation. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
They start
right.
on the right. right track. They start doing the right thing. And how many of us, that we get a word from God or get inspiration from God to give us a good positive thought to do something good in life, we start it but don't complete it, or we're lazy in doing what
yeah.
we're supposed to do, right? So that's why Zerubbabel was sent. I'm sorry. Let me get this right. Hagar. So Hagar was sent to actually scorn them or talk to them while they wasn't doing the work. He was sent by God
mm-hmm.
tell them, you need to get busy. And the reason why you're not getting bit, and see, some we don't want nobody telling us our faults. We don't want we don't want nobody to say
yeah.
what we're wrong at. They see us not doing
yeah.
what we're supposed to do.
That's
God
right.
sent Hagar to tell you what you're not doing and what you are doing. And you're thinking about yourself first. And when you get on further down in the lesson, you'll see the repercussions of us not putting God
right.
first in his work. Great lesson.
Right.
You are right on.
Amen. Amen. So we go into verse 3. It says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, verse 4, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your settled houses, and this house lie in waste. And I looked up the word settled, and settled is the paneling inside the house. I think it was made of cedar, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, here it is that you can get cedar for your house. So you can put the money into your house. You can put the finances into your stuff. But yet you're going to leave my house lying waste. So my second point was, get your priorities in order. Get your priorities in order.
That's
the people
good.
Were talking about that it wasn't time to rebuild the temple, but God asked So it's time for you to dwell on your paneled houses while this house lies desolate. God did not condemn them for enjoying a level of comfort. Instead, condemned them for their misplaced priorities.
Yes.
Why should their houses have come before the Lord's house, especially since God arranged for them to return to the land for the purpose of rebuilding his house? What is your priority?
That's good.
Where's your priority at? Are you putting your stuff before God? Do you feel like you have something more important to do for your stuff than what God has asked you to do for him? Is it more important for you to take care of your stuff before you minister to somebody that might be lost? We must be careful that we always put God first. The word of God says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness.
Right.
Then these things shall be added. We have got to see what God wants us to do first. Because like Elder said, there's some consequences coming up, and I'm going to read those in a few minutes, of when we don't put God ahead of our own selves. So we have to get our priorities in order. Does anyone have anything they would like to say about up to scripture number 4?
Yeah, I like to add
God wants us to
very first. You understand? I like to add that, you know, this sounds a lot like we have to be able to minister and witness in season and out of season.
Yeah.
We have to be able to witness the goodness and the greatness of God. We have to be on assignment, whether feel like it or not, because God or Jesus requires us, you know, because he'll give you the strength.
Amen.
To minister. He'll give you the strength, regardless of what's going on in your life, because there's always going to be distractions. There's always going to be interruptions. There's always going to seem like there's something negative trying to attach itself to you. Especially when you call yourself a man or woman or a child of God that is trying to be obedient to the will of the Father and not letting a whole bunch of distractions stop you from getting to where he wants us to be. So, you know, and that's what they got away from. They let the distractions turn into excuses as to why they couldn't do, and they can only get to build the foundation of the temple, and they couldn't go to because of the distractions that they was dealing with, the negative energy
Amen.
That they was dealing with from people. So we can't allow people to or anything, you know, to sidebar us from getting to where God is telling us to do, because it seems like the more distractions come, it seems like sometimes, not all the time, that's when he wants you to do more. You know, so we just have to trust him and believe him, you know, and don't let the distractions become excuses.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Evangelist, did you have something you would like to say?
Yes, I would like to expound on number 4 that you were just talking about. This house lay waste. He's just simply just talking about just putting God first, putting his things, and the things that we put so much emphasis in things in our own house, like you were saying, but we want to give God our seconds or our thirds. You know what I mean? if we take care of God's house, he's going to take care of our house.
Yes,
so
that's right.
The cedar was the best of the best. So why can't we give God our best?
Amen. Is there anyone else that would like to say anything before we move on? Amen. So, like I said in verse 4, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your cedared houses, and this house lie in waste. Verse 5, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And it's very important that we look and consider our ways. Even when I was reading this word and I was like, God, I know that I have shortcomings and forgive me. I know that I can do better. Forgive me. And I have to put it into action, not just saying it, but I have to do it. See, I can say a lot with my mouth and go on and just keep it moving. But God is looking for some action from me. And we can talk about it. And yesterday we had a service. And D&K was doing service yesterday. Elder Oliver was doing it. And he was talking about, you know, going out and ministering to people. And he said, let's just do it. Let's just do it. I mean, you don't have to try to be legalistic about it, or you need to get 50 sandwiches together, or you need to get some water together with it. No, just do it. Just begin to minister. Go out, hand out a tract. Go out and encourage somebody. Go out and give somebody a word. Don't think about it. They don't even have to know your name, because it's not about you anyway. If you see somebody and they look like they might be a little heavy, or if somebody gives you, if God gives you an urging just to say hello to that person, to encourage that person, just do it. Consider your ways. Are you doing what God has called you to do? Have you encouraged somebody on today? Have you spoke life to your family members today? Have you prayed with anybody? Have you prayed? Have you read any of the scriptures, any of the words that God has written down? Have you sought to find out what the will of God is? Have you repented for something you know you did that was wrong? Did you say that you were sorry and really mean it? Have you put actions with your words? Not only being a hearer, but be a doer of the word of God also.
Amen.
Have you considered your ways? Have
Amen.
You considered your ways? And then verse 6, this is the big one right here. Verse 6.
Evangelist, can I just want to make one
Go
comment.
Ahead.
If you don't consider your ways don't consider you. Now, that means you might go back to your old ways. You might, you know, get caught up in something that you didn't want to, you know, get caught up in. But if you consider your ways before they consider you, you'll always stay, you know, always stay ready, so you won't have to get ready. Okay, and recognize your fault and the things that you should be doing, and just, I mean, that you should be doing, but you're not. Okay, mm-hmm. And we need to just step up and just, you know, do what God called us to do. And stop being slack and, you know, and slowful. Because slowfulness, we want to put sinners to hell, send them to hell, you know, for drinking and smoking and cussing, but slowfulness is a sin.
That's right.
Right. That's right, Evangelist. That's good. Consider your ways.
That's a good point.
Consider your ways. Does anyone else have anything to say before we move on to verse 6? Because this is a big one. This is a big one. If you don't consider your ways, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You are clothed, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Wow. So you may have sown money financially, but you bringing in little because you made a decision to put your stuff before God. So God is not going to bless what you have and multiply it because you have put God second and you first. Did you hear what I said? You've sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. That's the consequences of your disobedience. That's a vivid picture of economic and social distress because of your lack of concern for God and his will.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Your dependency is upon God. See, it's not you. Your dependency is upon God. Yes, you go to work and you get a paycheck. But your blessings and your provision comes from God.
That's right.
And when you think it comes from you, you never, ever are filled. Because, see, you think you did it.
That's right.
You think you're the one that's bringing in the provision because you do go to work. No, God is giving you the strength. First of all, he gave you breath and life to wake up in the morning. He gave you the ability to use your body. He gave you the ability to get dressed, to eat, to get in the car, to go work. He gave you the strength to work. So where is your thanksgiving to God? Your dependency is upon him, not yourself. Does anyone have anything they want to say about verse 6?
I do.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like that's where I found myself a lot, is in verse 6 early on in my walk with the Lord. You know, it seemed like no matter what I did, other than what I should have done to get ahead, it seemed like it was always something. You know, I knew I went to work. I tried to save money. It seemed like no matter what I did, I was always broke or always going through because lack of finances. And this is, I'm serving the Lord. I'm thinking I'm serving the Lord, you know, and this scripture before has come to me and kind of jolted me to, you know, like you said, consider my ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of changed how I was doing things. And, you know, because there were times where the Lord was second and not first in my life in terms of doing his will instead of my own will. And then, you know, I began to change and recognize because of this scripture, you know, I just need to change some things about how I serve the Lord. Because I can't serve the Lord the way I want to. I have to serve him the way he requires me and wants me to.
Amen.
And I think that's where a lot of us gets in, a lot of people get in trouble with God, with Jesus, because we try to serve him our own way. We try to serve him through our flesh instead of through the spirit. Because when we serve him through our spirit man links up with him, with his spirit. And we can hear what the spirit of the Lord is saying clearly without any distraction. But when we let our flesh try to listen to him, there's all kind of distraction that gets in the way. And we ended up, and we always end up doing it wrong. So, you know, and I think it's a lot about trust as well. Trusting the Lord, you know,
Amen.
To take care of his house first so that he can take care of us. Because can't nobody take care of you. Because can't nobody take care of us like Jesus can. And when I say nobody, I mean nobody can take care of you. Jesus Christ can. You know, he can give you peace unlike any other. He can heal us like any other, you know. He can deliver you unlike anybody, you know. So this is a very good word tonight, and we just have to continue, you know. We got to continue to stay on track with the Lord in our
Amen.
Walk. We're making excuses, you know.
Amen.
Get our flesh out. Stay in the spirit as much as we can.
That's right.
That's it. I'm there.
Amen. Does anyone have anything they would like to say? Does anyone else?
Just real quick, you will never be prosperous. He's going to just give you just, you're going to always never have enough. The money that you make, you're just going to be making ends meet. They're not even going to. As a matter of fact, they're not even going to see. Your ends ain't even going to see each other. You're going to always rob Peter to pay Paul. Consider your ways. You're going to always try to manipulate and try to, you know, do things to try to get by.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it God's way, the right way, consider your ways. And believe me,
right.
You will have more than enough. You will have enough. Mm-hmm. You're running over and everybody around you is blessed. But we want to do it our way, and it's going to. It's like I said, it's like the word said. You're gonna have a bag full of money, but it's gonna have a hole in it. Everywhere you walk, it's just falling out.
Right, right. I have wrote down there. God blesses our generosity, not our greed. He blesses our generosity and not our greed. You know, it's. When we look at this, and it's also a perspective, because see, when you're looking at yourself, that you're meeting your need, you won't ever have enough, because greed makes you want to have more, and you would never be content in whatsoever state that you're in. Because your greed will say it's not enough. But when you become content in Christ, what you have, it looks different than the reality. Because what you have, you're thankful that God has blessed you with whatever you have, and he will multiply it to make it enough. He will multiply it.
Amen.
That it will even look different to you. You know, you're like, wow, I didn't realize how blessed we really are. But that's when you're in him. But when you're in the world and you're greedy, it doesn't look like it's ever enough because you're not content in him.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to consider our ways. And verse 7, the last verse, says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He's reminding them again. He's saying it to them again. He's prophesying to them again. Consider your ways. So I want to encourage everybody that's listening tonight, consider your ways. Number one, do not make excuses and stop making excuses. You do have time to give to God. You do have those moments. You can read your word. You can pray. You can talk to God. Do not make excuses and stop making excuses. Number two, get your priorities in order. It's not about you, but it's about him. It's about what he wants you to do with this life that he has given you. Number three, obey the word of God. What does the word of God have to say about it? Repent. Repent. Turn. Get into right relationship with God. Number four, remember your dependency upon God. It is God who brings increase. It's God who provides. It's God who strengthens you. It's God who can deliver you. It's God who can heal you. It's God who can give you the joy that you need. The joy of the Lord is your strength through him. It's God that does it for you, not you yourself, and not things, not your house with your cedar wood, not your car, not your clothes, not how much money you have in the bank. Your dependency is upon God. Because let me tell you, when you sick, no amount of money, no house, no car, no clothes are going to do anything for you. It's God that's going to bring healing and deliverance and salvation. That's where our hope is. Our hope is not in things. Our hope is in God. Consider your ways, because if you don't, you can sow much, but you're going to bring in little. You can have food to eat, but it won't be enough. You can drink, but you won't be filled. You're still going to be thirsty. You may have clothes on, but you can still feel naked. You won't have the warmth that you need. And you can earn wages, but it seems like all your money is just going through a hole if you don't consider your ways. So I want to encourage everybody on tonight, consider your ways. Give your life to Christ. He brings the meaning to your life. Would anybody else on the panel like to, anything else to say before we close this out on tonight?
The blessings of God maketh richer, addeth no sorrow.
Amen.
Would you say, Evangelist Blewett?
I said, I just wanted to make a comment. Proverbs said, the blessings of God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it.
Okay. You said that was Proverbs 10 and 2?
22.
10 and 22?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I add one small comment before Elder Taylor closes out?
Yes, sir.
I know he's going to get long-winded, so I wanted to get a little bit in here real quick. Look, again, great lesson. It's perfect for the times we're in right now. Great lesson, great lesson. This word was meant for us even though it was wrote years ago. But when God, and I'm sure everybody has heard something in their, or has something in their intuition, like a voice is speaking to them to do something. You know, so we all have that. God always pushes us But when he gives us something to do and we stall or procrastinate doing it, God will always send somebody to remind you of what he told you. And that's why he sent Haggai to remind Zerubbabel and the priest. 16 years later, after they got there and they laid the foundation, had done nothing 16 years later, and they let the people around them manipulate their thought process. That's why the work got hindered also. And then when we're manipulated, or we're pausing in the will of God, or we're doing or considering our own ways or not his ways, then we start doing other things with our hands and minds, like they were building, you know, beautiful houses because of the time they thought they had. So 16 years went by. God sent Haggai to remind them what God sent them or released them from Babylon to do, right? So we got to be careful. God can give us a task, and we can get fired from that task, not even knowing that we fired, which is what our bishop preaches. So we have to be careful in doing so. And even when we get tired, and even when we don't have the resources, God will send the resources and remind us of what we need to do. Because later on in the book of Haggai, there's four different sections in this book to where Darius, the king, was notified by the enemy to look into and see if permission to even build a temple. And when he found that it was written that they were able to build the temple to go back and build, he also told the people in Babylon to give Israel whatever they needed to build the temple. So everything was set in motion, and the motion stopped and paused with the people that were supposed to do the work. How many of us are supposed to do the work and be busy for God and not doing it? How many times do we get upset when we see other people coming, new members coming to church and doing the work we were supposed to be doing?
Right.
See, God always time in the bush, his will happens. Either we do it or somebody else do it. But in the meantime, he's going to ask you, and he's going to put you in a mindset to think about where you're at because you're not doing it. He's going to always remind us because he loves us. To remind us what we should be doing in our lives, right? It's just like I got a beautiful wife. If I neglect her, believe me, God would let me see or let me be jealous of somebody else that's taking, you know, paying attention to her. And that's how life goes. God will remind us what he put in his will for us to do. A great lesson, great teachings, very calm, almost quiet, but very powerful. Thank you.
Amen. Elder Taylor, I'll turn it over to you, sir.
All right. As Elder Bluett just stated, very powerful word. Good word. Very much understood word. Delivered well. And I just want to say thank you for that. And allowing the Lord to use you, as you always do. And, you know, I just want to encourage everybody that listened to this tonight to be encouraged and to be obedient to the will that the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, has for you. And to be obedient to what he tells you to do so that you can have what he has for you and not be delayed or distracted. So great word tonight, Evangelist Dove Stanton. Consider your way. Consider our ways. So we just wanted everybody to consider our ways tonight and to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us so that we can be obedient to the calls on our life. Because when you give your life to the Lord, that's just what you've done. You give your life to him so that he can use you as he sees fit. so that you can affect the people around you, whether it be in your family, people in your job, people just out socially, people in your church, that we can be effective and helpers and keepers of one to another. So, good word tonight. We're going to pray out, and then we're going to dismiss. So, God, we thank you. We give you glory and honor for all that was said tonight, all that was spoken by the panel members. And we just want to say thank you. And we just want to give you all the glory and all the honor for that, what you've done in your, through your word tonight. And we just want to continue to encourage Evangelist Bell Stanton, that you strengthen her, renew her, and revive her for being obedient to the call tonight. Call her to teach on, to preach on, and to share with the people that tuned in tonight to listen. And we honor you, Lord God. We magnify your holy name. And we pray that you continue to watch over us, guide us, teach us all that we do and say, and that you will be glorified in each and every one of us that has an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, that we can be obedient to the call and be in your will and out of your way. We just say we love you, Jesus. We honor you. And if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God, for a new day, another day, as we prepare to go into a new day up on tomorrow, that you wake everybody tomorrow so that we can continue in the walk in which you've called us to do. Help us, Lord God, to be delivered from every excuse that we may come up with for not doing what you would have us to do. And everyone that's listening under the sound of my voice that needs healing, Lord God, we pray that you heal us, myself included, Lord God. Heal us in any of all sickness or disease, that you, that we can be used by you, and that we don't use it as a distraction or an excuse not to do what you've called us to do. We just want to say thank you, Lord God, and we want to give all the glory and all the honor, Lord God, because it's not you, it's not us, but you that worketh within us, through us. And we're going to, a great commission scripture that we use each and at the end of each and every service is Matthew 28:19-20. And it reads, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Amen. God bless you. Be encouraged. Know that the saints and our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his wife, Lady Zachary, we love you from Praise Tabernacle Church. And again, stay encouraged and tune in with us from week to week. You are dismissed in the name of Jesus. Amen.